considering that this is an album which takes its inspiration from the 70s, if you had a choice of eras to perform in, would you like to be performing in the 1970s?
Probably the 60s. It's where I spent most of my formative listening, I guess you could call it. So, you know, most of the records I have are from 60s groups, you know, all that hard bop stuff. You know, I developed what I am now through all of that. And then, you know, as a youngster, I was a guitarist, so I listened to a lot of 70s, mm-hmm. you know, and early 80s rock and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of molded it in a different shape. But I think sort of maybe, you know, to have my cake and eat it too, maybe like on the cusp would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
70, 71, I don't know.
Yeah, in that Bitches Brew era, huh?
Absolutely.
Your sound is frequently being compared to Dave Douglas, the US trumpeter, which we featured on the program a couple of weeks back. And I know he's an inspiration for you as well.
Yep.
What is your feeling towards that? He was here in Australia a few years back and he still performs with Uri Caine. And even this sound, when I go back and listen to this sound now on Live Wire, that feeling comes to me as well with the Fender Rhodes there. What's your feeling?
Yeah, I guess coming back to it, there's a record that I listened a lot to called The Infinite, which is a Dave Douglas record with Uri Caine and Chris Potter and Clarence Penn, who's probably my all-time favourite drummer. But it's a similar instrumentation but a different kind of vibe. But it's kind of funny, like, you know, comparing me to Dave Douglas and Jackson, who went and studied with Uri Caine in New York. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because we've listened and paid attention to those people so much, there might be a similar kind of interplay. I think it's a big compliment because Dave Douglas is a pretty amazing musician and composer and a phenomenal improviser as well.
I noticed the album's already been reviewed too, Andy, and I read the review. It was by a gentleman by the name of Greg Levine.
Mm-hmm.
And he quotes in the media release that he received, quote-unquote, Livewire, the album is a lo-fi tribute to 1970s Australian rock. Now, he goes on in that review to put the case, that's if I'm understanding him correctly, that 1970s rock was commercially successful enough without now putting it on some kind of pedestal. But that wasn't actually the intent of this, was it?
No, not at all. More than anything, I grew up listening to a lot of that music. I don't know, call it nostalgia. I went out in the last sort of 6 months in the UK and bought every AC/DC record I could find, and I got a couple of Angels records and some Oils things just because I didn't have them with me.
Was that just a bit of homesickness, do you think? Or
I think so, yeah. I think so. I was just, yeah.
And it's obviously influenced your music now in more of a way than just being homesick.
Yeah, oh, of course, yeah. I've been trying to musically recreating the attitude and the feeling that I get when I'm listening to that music. So the sort of it's a very personal thing to me, and like it can be that to everyone else as well.
When Greg Levine says that, you know, it's 1970s music has been rewarded enough, he's on the wrong track there, isn't he? I mean, you're not putting this music up on any sort of pedestal.
No,
you're using it as an inspiration, which it genuinely has been.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. That's you've put it perfectly there. It is. It's more of an inspiration than I'm revering what they've done. It's just something that I've been influenced by and inspired by with all this writing that I've done on the new record.
He goes on to make the argument that how can you have music inspired by 1970s rock without a guitar? What do you say to that? How do you do that?
Well, it comes down to how we did it. I'm explaining it from my sort of point of view with the approaching the recording and the writing. I think we went for something a little dirty with the Rhodes as well. Like if you can hear, you know, when you get a copy of the record, you'll be able to hear that we've used a really sort of old beat up amplifier for the Rhodes on a couple of tracks, and it's breaking up all over the place. So it sounds a bit rough, you know, so it's a bit raw and the drums are quite high in the mix. So, you know, we've gone for...
So there's a bit of mongrel in there.
Yeah, a bit of mongrel, exactly, yeah.
I thought about that when I read that comment in relation to the guitar, and I thought, well, yes and no. If something is inspiring you, it doesn't mean to say that you have to have the same instrumentation there to bring about the same flavours, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
And really that's... Whilst it's not a screaming sound, it certainly is a sound rooted in the 1970s rock sound, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like that whole, the Rhodes keyboard is a very sort of 60s, 70s sound anyway, and although it was mainly used on sort of the more jazzier recordings. But the whole record, we went for a more earthier rootsy kind of sound anyway, just in the way we recorded it, like we were using like lots of tube and tape, and just so it was really warm and, like, you know, sounded really, for lack of a better word, fat, you know, and not crystal clear and super clean like a lot of records you can, jazz records you get these days. So.
Last year when we spoke last, you were quite excited because you'd just gotten yourself a brand new trumpet, but you play flugelhorn all over this album.
Yeah, exclusively on this record, I would say.
When you're playing the flugelhorn to something like this and you're trying to conjure up that inspiration from 70s rock, that's another story, isn't it? It's probably a lot easier for the Fender Rhodes player, Jackson Harrison, to do that. But can you imagine?
it's weird, like I'm trying to channel the spirit of Bon Scott or something through my flugelhorn. I'm not really sure how to look at that one. But yeah, you know, it's still a jazz record, so it's coming from the interplay from everyone there. And if, you know, this record's pretty amazing, like most of the things we did in one take, so everyone was on the same wavelength. So there's ideas bouncing around all over the place, and it was quite good to get onto the same plane as everyone else. And you know, they all got it, what I was trying to describe and what I was playing. So, you know, trying to be like the lead singer or lead guitarist or something like that out of a 70s rock band on a flugelhorn, which is probably the mellowest of like high brass instruments, is, you know, juxtaposition of ideas, I guess.
Part of your development, I guess, is striving to create your own sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think you've done that?
I'm getting there, yeah. There's a few bits and pieces where I go, I've listened to this guy a bit much. But I think more so on this album than The Survival, I'm really sort of getting what I want to say my way out through the horn. So, you know, if you can call that having your own voice, then yes, I think so.
The flugel, will it feature as heavily on your next album as this one?
I'm looking at going into the studio in November this year, and we're going to be recording a trio record, which is going to be all trumpet. So, but it will be the heavy trumpet, so it's going to be a bit darker, like the new one. And,
right.
That's a band with Mike on bass and Simon Barker on drums. That's the plan, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and very, very different to this. A lot more interplay from a compositional point of view.